Amen. There's nothing like the presence of God. And I know we can say a lot of things today, but there is a gift out there. Amen. God will fill us. We could say a lot of things, but why don't we just say this? For the promise is for you and your children. Time I preach, but if you don't like this week, I ask that you come back when Pastor's here. Amen. Little disclaimer there, but I am thankful for his presence that's in my life, and thankful for the presence that's here at Turning Point Church. Amen. 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 I got some scripture here that I'm gonna read. It's a little lengthy, but I'm going to ask if you stand with me this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Starting with verse 3 through 7. It says, "And they carried the ark of God on a new cart, and brought it into the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. Verse 6 says, "And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there beside the ark of God." And one more passage of scripture, 1 Chronicles 15, starting with verse 13. It says, "Because you did not carry it the first time." This is David speaking to the Levites. He said, "Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rule." So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with poles, as Moses had commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. And I know that I'm usually done before I get started, but for the next few moments, if you'll bear with me, I would like to just talk on this subject. Proper preparation always precedes his presence. Proper preparation always precedes his presence. I stole that from Pastor, I'm sorry, but one day I'll figure out a title myself. But look to your neighbor and tell them, there is nothing else like this. Look to them and say, there's nothing else like this, and you may be seated. Amen, amen. It would be fitting to say that there is nothing like Pentecost. Amen. It would be fitting and right to say that there is nothing like the presence of God. We've said that. There's nothing like his presence. Amen. The Bible tells us that when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Israelite territory, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 and 15, it says that David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with a sound of horn. King David was in the presence of the Lord. And we could read this verse and we can tell that he was excited to be in the presence of the Lord. He was shouting, there was dancing. To say they were having church would be an understatement. King David and all the people were dancing in the presence of the Lord. And I began to wonder what would make a king dance. A man that has everything, a man that commands thousands, what would make him worship in such a way? I mean, his own wife would despise him in her heart for the worship that he did. What would make a king like David worship with shouting and with dancing? Why would a man that fought so many battles be so consumed with the presence of God? And I began to look at this, and could it be that there was a time in David's life and the Israelites that their Ark of the Covenant, which contained the earthly presence of God at that time, was nowhere to be found? And I'm going to try to paint a backstory for us for just bear with me for a minute. But could it be that there was a time when David's life, when the Ark of the Covenant was nowhere to be found? Could it be that he merely just heard stories and never truly experienced it for himself? David would say in 1 Chronicles 13:3, "Then let us bring again the Ark of God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul." Some of us understand what it's like to be in a place or even a season in our life where we didn't always seek God. Amen. If we were to take some time and go around and ask, I believe we would all have some stories of when we didn't always seek God. We could all relate with David when he said, "We did not seek God in the days of Saul." But thank God, amen, thank God that we walked into a church one day where we could feel his presence. Amen. And I could speak for many when I say that I can remember walking through those doors and feeling something in here that I did not feel out there. Amen. I can speak for many when I say I came into this place and I really didn't know what was going on, but I knew that I had encountered a real move of God. I knew that I encountered the Spirit of God. My wife and I didn't understand everything that was going on, but we knew we encountered the very presence of God. And we ought not get to a place where we lift our nose and forget that it was in his presence, amen, that restoration would happen. It was in his presence where healing would flow. It was in his spirit that it would be poured out on us. And it was in his presence when faith would grip our hearts. We should never get so high and mighty that we don't need his presence in our life. So when David, a king, dancing and worshiping, he was celebrating the fact that worship of the one true king was going to be at the center of the people. Because there was a time when the ark would not be amongst the people. When the ark of the covenant was captured and taken from them. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 4:11, "And the ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas died." 1 Samuel 4:17 and 18 said, "He who brought the news answered and said, 'Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great defeat amongst the people. Your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been captured.' And as soon as he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell over backwards from his seat, and he also died. When the Philistines captured the ark of God, they would all feel the defeat." This wasn't necessarily their team losing the finals. This was the Holy of Holies. This was the presence of God being taken at that time. I mean, times were so bad that Phinehas' widow was having a baby, and this is what she said. And she named her child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." So when we see David dancing and bringing the ark of the covenant back into Jerusalem, to say he was excited would be an understatement. For them, having the ark meant having the presence of God back. It meant having their identity. It meant having worship of the one true king back. Saul may have never sought it in his days, but David made sure that God was going to be at the center of it all. When David became king, he made sure that he was going to bring the ark back. David began to plan the work and work the plan. Anybody know that somebody that can plan the work and work the plan? Amen. Not me, but it meant having worship of the one true God back. He was working the mission and still keeping the submission. And he would begin to talk with the people, and he would begin to spend time with the people, and he would begin to unite them on this idea that let's bring the ark back. He would tell them, "Let's bring it back." He wanted it to be restored. He wanted the goal not only to be for him, but for everyone. He wanted everyone to have the same goal. He would gather the whole assembly of Israel, as well as the commanders and the leaders, and he would tell everyone his plan to bring back the ark. I'm just going to keep it a little plain this morning. David was simply having a family meeting. He called a dreaded family meeting. Anybody ever had a family meeting? We don't have too many, but. And I won't get off track, but he called a family meeting, and this was actually a good family meeting. Usually they're bad, but David was having a good family meeting. He was trying to get everybody on the same page. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, 1 through 3, David consulted with the commanders of thousands and hundreds, with every leader. David said to the assembly of Israel, "If it seem good to you from the house of the Lord our God, let us send abroad to our brothers who remained in the lands of Israel, as well as the priests of the Levites and the city that have pasture lands, that they may gather to us." And verse 3 says, "Then let us bring again the ark of God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul." And all the assembly agreed to do so, for the thing seemed right in the eyes of the people. David would begin to plan his work and work his plan. He would begin to set things up. Worship was going to be brought back to the people. It was an exciting time, not only for David, but for the people around him. This had now not only become a goal for him, but everyone agreed to restore worship of the one true God. And I know this may be basic for some, but it is exciting when we collectively decide to restore worship back into our homes. Amen. It's exciting when we collectively decide to bring worship back into our lives and on our job sites and even in the office. There's something powerful that happens when men and brothers can lift up holy hands in the house of God. There's something powerful that happens when a sister can pray for a sister. Amen. We ought not get so high and mighty that we pick and choose. But it is exciting when someone is willing to put everything aside and say, I want the presence of God. Whatever it takes, I want the presence of God in my life. And this is what David and the people of Israel wanted for themselves. They were willing to push everything to the side to get the presence of God. And I found this interesting about the whole story. What I found interesting about the whole story was the fact that the Philistines gave the ark up. Kind of always assumed that David and his armies went to the Philistines and they fought them and they smote them and they took it. But as the Philistines were parading when they stole it, when they were parading their victory and showing off the ark that they had just stole, as they would take it through their city, showing everyone that they had taken the prized possession, it seemed that sickness and plagues would follow it as they would march through their cities. You can read it in 1 Samuel chapter 5. You'll see that Ashdod and Gath and Ekron did not want the ark of God in their city because of the sickness that followed it. And after 7 months of dealing with this, the Philistines would place the ark on a new cart pulled by 2 cows and return it to Israelite territory. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 6, 7 and 8, it tells us what the Philistines did. It says, now then, take and prepare a new cart and put 2 milk cows on it, which they has never come a yoke, and yoke the cows to the cart. But take their calves home away from them and take the ark of the Lord and place it on the cart and put in a box at its side with the figures of gold, which you are returning to him as a guilt offering. Then said, send it off and let it go its way. The Philistines created a cart and sent it away from them. The sickness that was following it, they didn't want anymore. It was in a place that it should not have been. And they built this cart. It was a new cart, the Bible says, and it was pulled by 2 cows, and they sent it off away from them. They wanted no part of it. And after the cart traveled for a little while aimlessly, it would be found in a place called Beth Shemesh. And this is interesting because the ark of God is now on Israelite territory. But because they would carelessly handle it, and because they didn't understand exactly how to handle it, men would die in that city. People would die, and they would stand back and they would say, who is able to stand before the Lord, the holy God? They would send a messenger to Kiriath Jearim to take it. They sent it away and they took it to Abinadab's house on a hill and consecrated Eleazar the son and to guard the ark of the Lord. And this is the place that the ark would remain throughout Samuel's judgeship and Saul's reign as king. This is the place that the ark would remain in Kiriath Jearim. And it would be at this location that David and his people would travel to get the ark. 1 Chronicles 13:5-6 says, so David assembled all the Israelites from Sheor River and the Egypt to Labo Hamath to bring the ark of God to Kiriath-Jearim. And all the Israelites with him went to Balaam, Judah, Kiriath-Jearim, to bring up from there the ark of God to the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the ark that is called by the name. I know that I have a lot of scripture here today, but I want to paint a backstory before we get into this. Because I think we've all been at the same place as David. I believe we've all been excited for the things of God, and we should, amen? We may have started running before we even knew what we were doing. I've been there many times. And we have all wanted worship back into our homes and back into our lives more than just on Sunday. Our intentions are usually good, and the direction usually seems right. Our purpose was to better ourselves and our families. And David and the Israelites stood in these same shoes, or should I say sandals. And they wanted the best for themselves. They wanted to better themselves. They wanted to better their families. They wanted to better those that were around them. They wanted the presence of God. But the problem that David faced was that he did not get the correct instruction before handling the ark. David's problem started when he didn't fully grasp what was given to him. His problems kind of started when he began to move without really digging in and listen to the right instructions. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 3 through 7 says, they set the ark of God on a new cart. Now this is David building a cart. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio, which kind of looks like Ohio with an A, was walking in front of it. David and all the house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and harps and lyres and tambourines, sistrums and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. And the Lord's anger burned against Uzziah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark. And I have said all that to come to this point. David's intentions were great. David's direction was even good. He wanted to get closer to God. But David's problems all started when he began to build a cart that looked like the same cart that the Philistines had built. David wanted to transport the presence of God on a cart that looked like the Philistines' cart. And can I just say it clearly this morning? Our intentions may be good and our direction may even be right, but we can't try to put what God is doing on a cart that looks like everything else. Amen. Come on, we don't do things like the Philistines do. We don't do things like the Philistines do. I'm not saying we're better, but we can't look to the Philistines for guidance on how to transport the presence of God. I said, we can't look to the Philistines for guidance on how to transport the presence of God. We can't look to the Philistines on how to make our homes better. Amen. We can't look to them on how to walk with God. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And I can say this from my own experience, that it can get awfully hard for you and I to try to take this home and apply it when the cart looks like everything else. It can be hard to take this home when everything outside this place looks like. Come on, I'm not trying to make this bigger than what it is, but I can't try to carry what God is doing on something that looks like the Philistines built it. David did what the Philistines did before him to transport the ark when they wanted to get rid of it. But just like David, we can't always do what others have done before us. It may be just a small detail, and it may not affect us directly, but we got kids looking at us. We got communities looking at us. We ought to let the Word of God be our guidance. We ought to allow His Word to be the deciding factor in our lives. And I could imagine what David felt like when Uzziah died. They were worshiping and shouting. Everything was finally coming together. David had everyone on the same page. It's kind of like when you bring the family together and you begin to try to get everybody on the same page. David was finally getting everybody on the same page. The Israelites were finally bringing back the presence of God to the center of the people. And because of one missed detail, they had a man die, all because he tried to help. All he tried to do was make sure the ark of God didn't fall over. When the oxen had stumbled and the cart shook, all this guy tried to do was to stop it from falling over. This kind of reminds me of myself when I've been at work and I've tried to help out. I've kind of made it worse than when I got there. Anyone know somebody like that? They try to help, but all along they're making it worse. That was this guy. He was trying to help, but all along, he ended up ending the party early. You better believe David was angry and upset. The Bible tells us he probably felt a little misunderstood. I mean, why would God allow something like this to happen? Why would this happen when all we're trying to do is the right thing? David was so upset that he parked the ark at the next best place. He parked it at Obed-Edom's house, who was a prominent Levite who had 7 sons. And he left the ark there frustrated and probably embarrassed because he failed in front of everyone. His mistakes began to show up, and now he's leaving the ark behind and he leaves. And the Bible says that he let it sit there for 3 months. I think David is a lot like us, or we're a lot like David. I haven't decided that yet, because usually the first time things go wrong with us, we tend to park our worship for the next 3 months. Amen. We tend to park our worship at the next best place. And we usually don't touch it until we figure out what God did wrong. I know I'm preaching now. I might have not been preaching earlier. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 11 and 12 says, "And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's and all his household And it was told to King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. The Bible says that it was told to King David, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belonged to him. David had learned that Obed-Edom and his household was being blessed because the ark of God was there. The ark that took a man's life is now blessing Obed-Edom's house. And David realized that the ark of God was not the problem. He realized that the presence of God was not the problem. He realized that the presence of God was not the problem. It was the way he handled it. It was the fact that he didn't handle it the way God had commanded. And this is the part that encourages me, because after David had messed up moving the Ark of the Covenant and after letting it sit there for 3 months, after having a man die, this is what David says. He begins to ask around. He begins to talk with the right people. Half of the problem sometimes is that we're just not talking to the right people. Amen. He began to go through the scrolls and listen to the right advice. And I love what it says in 1 Chronicles 15:1-2. It says, but David built houses for himself in the city of David. And he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said that no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God. For the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of the Lord and minister to him forever. Find it encouraging that David learned from his mistakes. Anybody ever learned from your mistakes? David went back to the instruction that God had given them and made sure that when he did it this time, that he did it the right way. David learned that proper preparation will always precede his presence. Whenever we get something wrong, the best thing we can do is go to the Word and get it right. The best thing we can do when we mess up is go to the Word and get it right. David learned from his mistakes. Now, I love what he said a few verses later. And 1 Chronicles 15:13-14 says, because you did not carry it the first time. This is David talking to the Levites. He said, because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not seek him according to the rules. So the priest and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And can I say on this Pentecost Sunday that I don't know where we might have messed up at, and I don't know how long we have parked his presence, but today's a good day to go back and get it. Today's a good day to get into his presence. We could have the musicians. I'm coming to an end, but today is a good day to go back and get it. We need his word, we need the altar, and we need his presence. If we could all stand. David learned that proper preparation will always precede his presence. I may have messed up in the past. I may have missed some instruction in the past, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to make sure that when I do it this time, that I do it according to his word. I find that encouraging that he made sure to do it the right way. Come on, anybody ever messed up in his presence? Anybody ever fallen short? Anybody ever read it wrong or thought you knew more than what you really know? We need his presence more now than we ever have. There's more voices out there trying to creep in. We need the right instruction. We need the right voices. I want his presence in my life. I'm willing to push everything aside. I'm willing to put everything to the side. Say, I want your presence in my home. I may have made mistakes in the past, but I'm going to do it right this time. I want your glory to flow in my life. So right now, with every hand lifted, if you feel it coming, why don't we just let the Word of God begin to flow through us? Why don't we begin to just remember the Word that was given to us years ago? Come on, some of us haven't said it in a while. Some of us haven't thought on it in a while. You're still able. You're still capable. I want your presence. I'm going to do what we do every week around this place. I'm going to ask if you're comfortable to grab or take the hand of the person that's beside you. And I'm going to ask if you'll come into his presence. Come to his altar and believe that his word will be fulfilled one more time. God, it's been a long time since I've trusted your word. It's been a long time, but I'm going to go one more time. May not look like what I thought it was going to look like. Come on. His presence is here right now. Why don't we lift up our hands, lift up our voice? The Lord is in the house. He is able to heal. He is able.